starved for entertainment, humor, and meaning. Two brave best friends set out on an epic quest to combine their love of improv comedy, movies, and storytelling to create a show that defies the odds and redefines cinematic genius.
Dude, it's just a podcast where we use short-form improv games to tell long-form improv stories in the style of famous movies.
Right. You're listening to In a World of Improvised Movie Homages. I'm your co-host, Avish Parasher, and I'm an improv comedian and a professional speaker.
And I'm your co-host, Mike Wirth, and I'm an improv comedian and professional film and video game composer.
We both love improv, movies, and storytelling, along with getting a little bit silly and ridiculous.
And hey, if you also like these things, then you are in the right place, because that's what this show is all about.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of In a World of Improvised Movie Homages. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm really great, man. I'm looking forward to Memorial Day weekend, man, with some movie watching. How about you? How you doing, Avish?
I am as well. I'm excited. I've been on a random horror movie kick anyways for the past couple of months, so I'm excited about today's episode. Speaking of which, why don't you let everyone know what is today's genre and starting point?
Absolutely. It's funny enough because it's something that we probably should have done around Halloween, but we're doing it this week. This week, we had gotten our offer to do slasher flick, and so we're going to basically improvise a slasher flick today.
All right. Fantastic. Slasher movie, and there's a lot of different types. We're thinking kind of that old school 80s, early 80s, late 70s, Halloween, Friday the 13th, prom night.
Yeah, yeah.
All those crazy ones. So if you have no idea what we're talking about, if this is your first time listening to our show, here's how it works. Mike and I love improv, movies, and storytelling, so we combine them into one show. We're going to improvise a movie for you, obviously in audio form, but we're going to tell that story by playing a series of short-form improv comedy games. We'll start out with a genre, which today will be slasher movie. Mm-hmm. Then we break this podcast into four segments. First, we spend 5 minutes discussing the tropes and commonalities of the genre. Then we'll spend 5 minutes hashing out, at a high level, the outline for today's movie. Then we'll spend 5 minutes picking the improv games we're going to play for each act. And then finally, we're going to perform the show. Does that sound good? Did I leave anything out there, Mike?
No, man, that's it. That is the format. It's been working for us, so we're going to keep on doing it.
All right, fantastic. Well, we're about to jump in. Before we do that, just very quickly, if you want more info about us and to sign up on our list and get some bonuses and things like that, go to our website, avishandmike.com. That's avishandmike.com. All right, let us begin.
Yes. All right, so as we said before, the genre is going to be slasher film. And what's our first step, Avish?
Segment one, discussing the tropes. All right, so yes, here's what we're just going to talk about in general. We may or may not use any of these tropes. We're going to talk about the tropes of the slasher genre. Mike, what do you think of when you think of slasher movies?
All right, so the first thing I think of is that the protagonists are going to be usually teenagers. So yeah. We're going to be dealing with that. Now, there's some ways you can play around with that, but by and large, even like the remakes, like Scream and Final Destination, it's like teenagers and stuff like that.
And there's always a group, and they always, other than one, maybe two, get picked off over the course of the movie.
Right. So there's basically a war of attrition. There's usually a single bad guy. Although, you don't have to. I mean, you could have like a cult or something like that, but...
But usually when you're talking slasher movie, it's one bad guy, unless you're turning us on his head like Scream, but one bad guy usually, well, not even they always have some kind of affect, whether it's a mask, a unique weapon.
Right?
So there's like a weapon or a mask or a...
Yeah. Now, the question is, this is one trope that happens. Usually the kids disturb something that unleashes the villain. You know, like, if we're going for, like, supernatural, they, like, disturb an Indian burial ground, or if it's just, like, normal, they, like, I don't know, tormented
I think along those lines, what I was thinking is that almost every slasher movie is based around some kind of event or anniversary. So like Halloween's or Halloween, Friday 13th's around summer camp, prom night's around the prom. Like there's always something. And usually that ties into the, you know, in Halloween, Michael Myers first killed on Halloween. Friday 13th, it's the camp where he died. Prom night, someone got something happened on the prom.
Dude, this is... This Memorial Day weekend, this we're gonna center this around Memorial Day. It's gonna right.
Well, we'll consider that, but like Memorial Day is already all about like soldiers dying and stuff. So
that's a perfect
might
theme.
Be a little too. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'll be around some anniversary, some holiday, some event, and then the killer ties into that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Cool. So
there's the final girl. It's almost 99% of the time the female is the main character who survives to the end.
Yep.
And
she. In the early slasher flicks, there's not a lot about her except of two things. She's usually virginal. But in the later slasher flicks, there's usually something special about her that ties her directly to the killer. You know?
Yeah. So we can add that in. Yeah, a lot of slasher movies are just random killings, but then they started making it more personal. Even Halloween, the first Halloween was totally random, but then in Halloween 2, they retconned it, so it's his sister.
Right, right. So there's usually a relationship there. Now, speaking of deaths, the deaths are flamboyant and over the top, right? Yeah. Like, and silly gory. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, silly gory deaths, a variety of deaths.
Yeah. Variety of deaths. Now, are we playing the trope where they're usually contrived to be trapped somewhere where they're cut off from civilization? In a cabin in the woods, in a cave, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I feel like they need to be. Well, I guess they don't need to be, but I feel like, yeah, there's always that thing about why don't these people just get the police? Which, you know, some in the later Friday 13s they did, and then the police would die. But yeah, they're usually someplace a little bit remote, so they can't just get help or run away.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And there's obviously a lot of, everyone's trying to get in bed with everyone else. There's lots of like, just
yeah, there's like sexcapades.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also... Now, in terms of the teenagers, are there tropes for the teenagers? Do we have the bullying jock? Do we have the sensitive?
They're usually stereotyped. Yeah, there's like the handsome jock, the slut, the virgin.
The best nerd, friend, the best friend nerd who wants to be the boyfriend. You know, that's the classic one. Nerd. Stereotypes galore. Also, the villain, even though he may have an affect, oftentimes uses interesting found weapons and objects to kill. That kind of ties in with the extravagant types of deaths, like. Yeah. Jason and Freddy do very, very silly things in you know, and I'm doing Freddy.
They kind of use the environment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Improvise their murders. And also, number one, they're sort of, well, three, whether they're supernatural or not, they all, A, are relatively impervious to harm until they die.
Yeah.
Number two, they all have kind of magical speed / teleportation abilities.
That's true, right? They're able to suddenly appear and usually, and I'm okay with going for this, unnaturally strong. Like
unnaturally strong.
Yeah.
And they also almost always a false death. They'll almost always die
and once, reappear.
But not actually be dead and come back.
That's true. We got a false death. All right. And then unnatural speed, unnatural strength. All right, cool.
All right. That's our 5 minutes. I feel like we
Yeah, we have a good list of tropes there.
Yeah. Okay, good. So, now,
segment two, creating the outline.
All right, now that we've talked about our tropes, we're going to spend about 5 minutes talking about our outline from a high level. Now, just full disclaimer, because it's improvisation, our actual story may end up deviating from the outline, but we're going to spend 5 minutes coming up with a rough outline. And we usually use a four-act structure, which is something... It's like the three-act structure. It just divides Act 2 into two parts.
Yeah, it just works.
About this called story engineering, and I think it works well for our show.
It works well for our show.
Okay, so 5 minutes. All right, first thing is we always start with either a movie trailer or a prologue. What do you think for this one?
If we do a prologue, we can do a setup of the tragedy that happened that drafted the villain, you know?
Yeah, I feel the prologue went of two ways. It could be the tragedy that created the villain, or it could be... like a random kill that kind of sets the stage. But we can do a prologue. We can do a fast prologue that kind of, well, I guess it'll come out of the improv, but we'll do a prologue.
Yeah, it's going to be one of two ways. Either random killer like a cold open, or it sets the killer up with the settings. And then
A lot of times it is like in the past, and then it's like, 27 years ago, and then it's like present day. Okay. So then act one is usually we meet the characters, they all arrive.
Yeah, arrival at the teens' location, introduce the characters, establish.
There may be a death or two in here, but it's more a general sense of creepiness and that you're being watched. And sometimes like one of the non-core people die here. Like in the early act, it's like the guy who owns a gas station gets killed, or not part of the main group of teens gets killed.
Secondary car, not with main group. Yeah. Also, events conspire to strand them at this location. The car runs out of gas, or there's a hailstorm or something, right? Can sometimes
conspire, and often if it is about like if there's an event going on, this is usually like the prep for the event, right? It's like if people are gonna die at prom night, they're like getting ready during the day to go to the prom, and if it's like Halloween, it's the daytime when they're like at school and getting their costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
Haven't like gotten to the big shebang yet.
Right.
Probably will have a death or two, in there.
All right, cool.
Okay. So act two, I feel like in a slasher movie, act two is often where people are dying, but like the main character doesn't know it yet. So it's like, like in the camp, like the main character's doing their thing, and then around the camp, like the other kids are dying, but the people who are still in the cabin don't realize it. So you're getting the deaths and the stalking and the terror, but it's not till like the middle of the second act that people realize that, oh crap, there's something going on here.
Yeah. Right. So act two is when the first suite of deaths occur, but it doesn't get back to the main party.
Yeah, the main don't know yet, really. They kind of like, they're wondering, like, they think everything's kind of okay, or someone's goofing around. They're like, oh, where's Johnny?
Oh, his car's gone. He must have gone into town to like get more beer or something.
Oh,
like that.
Those two probably just went off to have sex. You know them, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right. First few deaths occur. Okay. So that actually might just be act two. It's just like a couple of really good deaths.
Well, the thing about the slasher movies, they are not very complex in their plot. The bad guy picks the kids off one at a time until it's just him and the final girl. And then.
Yep. So then what I would say act three or block three is, they discover the bodies.
Yeah. They discover the bodies. They now try to get away or get help, but they can't for whatever reason.
Yep. Oftentimes at this point in time is someone will uncover the history of this place, uncover critical cultural lore that explains who the person is.
Yeah, they'll like find the room or the book or the
news article, right? One of those
like
things.
The old person, the old local who like stumbles in and
yeah.
Basal exposition.
And at this point, now let me ask you this question: there's one of two ways it goes. Either they go predator and they start like trying to like build traps for the bad guy, or they're just trying to get away and it's just like him or her picking them off.
I think if we're talking like an 80s slasher movie, they're just trying to get away and getting killed.
So I think
there's. There's very little proactiveness in a slasher movie.
They start to hatch a plan to work on escaping. And maybe it's something like getting gasoline for the car or something like that. But like real primitive stuff. They're not like, oh yeah, we're gonna like do the dream warrior thing. Yeah.
So yeah. If they are being proactive, it's to get away, not to like try to fight Jason.
Yeah. Then
we got to get across the lake where the fuel tank is, and
by
the end of Act Three, I think. Everyone is dead except the final girl.
I was gonna push a little bit into Act Four, where like Act Four is gonna be where like the bad guy comes back and just like kills off the last chunk of the characters and then ending.
It could be to me Act Four. The final bit is almost always like the extended chase but definitely.
All right, I started working on escaping, but you and I are in agreement that either in Act Three, let's do it in Act Three, what you said, which is bad guy comes back and one by one quickly. Rips through everyone except main car and maybe one other. If they live through Act Three, they're dying in Act Four. They're dying in a really they're dying in okay, we're going to do this. Ready? Act four. Let's assume one other, okay? Because here's what happens. Two cars, extended chase, fleeing monster. Come up with an environmentally cool way to kill the monster. False death. They think they're out of it. Particularly yeah. gruesome death for that second character. And then the final...
And the final death.
That makes sense?
Yeah,
it's just like in Aliens, right? Where they blow up. It's just Bishop and Ripley. And Bishop's like, oh, we're all saving. Right? False death, yeah. right?
All right, perfect. All right, so we got our basic act structure. So we have five sets with prologue, act one, act two, act three, act four. So now, that was our 5 minutes. So now we're going to spend 5 minutes or so picking what improv games we're going to do for each segment.
Segment three, choosing the games.
Now we'll spend 5 minutes talking about what improv games to use for each segment. We have five different sections. Let's pick improv games. All right, let's go to our game list.
Yeah.
And just to jump ahead, I think we're going to stick with act four being cutting room, just to like wrap it up.
Sure. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Act four is, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But like I said, we're if it's playing to our strength and it just is so works so well.
It's just a fun way to end. And if you're listening to this for the first time, don't worry. When we get to the games within the show, we will give you a quick synopsis of how the game is played. So if you don't know them by name yet, no worries.
Yep.
All right. So for the prologue, prologue should be short and it's going to give their backstory. It's a little too on point. There's an improv game called Creation Myth, but that's just a storytelling game, which seems very on point, but almost too on point. Usually you get like a random object, like a trampoline, and then you go into the creation of that. But I feel like that probably I thought that might be good for this show, but probably not.
But I'm glad you put it down there because we may have to use that at some point. Because that's a cool idea, you know? But maybe not.
Yeah, I was thinking if we combine it with another game, we could tell the story. But let's see. Let's see what might be good for this genre. For the game list too.
We could start off the prologue with Ding.
Yeah, let's do Ding. You want to do Ding as a scene or as a story or?
What do you think? I don't know, actually. I hadn't thought of that. Act one. Ding.
Are you saying prologue or act one for Ding?
Prologue. Sorry. I put act one, but I meant prologue. Yeah. Ding. Let's try it as a scene. I don't know. I can see it working both ways.
I think a prologue, if you want to do it quick, is probably better as a story.
Let's do a story. Okay, good. That's why I needed you. I needed you to make a commitment and say.
So, do you want to tell the story in that one, or do you want to be the dinger?
I'm gonna be the dinger because you're excellent at ding. It's one of your hallmark games. So I want to set the pace for this, right?
All
right.
So we'll do a ding story.
Yep.
For that. All right. Then act one. This is a little more of a setup type game. Where did that go? So we're meeting the characters. We've got some kind of a little bit of interaction. Maybe the killer kills one or two things, two people. Let's see. What might be a good one?
Thoughts, maybe? No, maybe? Sound effects? No, I'm not feeling sound effects. What's Spoon River?
Spoon River actually is very on point for this. We've never done it, but usually you have four people, and they're all four people. They're all dead people. There was like the main game is you get some event like a holiday, a festival in the town, and that day everyone died, and it's these four characters telling the story of what happened. And it's not really conducted, but they do switch and give and take focus. So like one person would be the character, like I was the mayor of the town, and that day here's what happened, and then like you know the beauty queen will say something, and then the jock will like jump in and so there's no like continuation. There's no like last word or last sentence or anything. It's just like four people kind of bouncing back and forth, creating this story, which could be kind of good for act two or act three.
Yeah. I kind of want to discover about the curse of the town or something like that, you know?
Yeah. As they're talking about like what happened when they went there.
You want to try a Spoon River into like act two or act three. Cause that's what they discover about the,
We'll do Spoon River. I'll do two characters. You'll do two characters. So that'll be Act Two.
Yeah, you'll have to kind of walk me through it because we, you know, I've never done it before. And then Act Two, probably Act Three, actually, right? Because
I feel like Spoon River can be fun, but I feel like it might not be as like fast and energetic as I think maybe we want for Act Three.
That's true.
Because Act Three won a lot. I was thinking Act Three could be. So we did this. We did timed styles before.
Yeah.
Where it was like you were supposed to, you do a 6-sentence scene and then you're supposed to do it in 3 minutes as many times as you can in different styles. So I think we should do timed deaths. And so in 3 minutes, we should have as many short deaths as possible. And I think we can do like a challenge game almost. So that's 5 minutes where you'll do the first death. And you have to do the whole thing in 6 sentences.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an object. And then you'll do it. Then you'll throw me an object and I'll have to do death in 6 sentences. And so we'll go back and forth and see how many we can get through in 3 minutes.
Oh my God, that's such an Act Three thing. That's such a good idea. Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the whole point of Act Three, right? Is like people getting rifled off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
all right, so that's timed deaths, we'll call it.
Deaths, yep.
All right, so we just need an Act One game.
Yeah, because Act Four is cutting room. Act One, Act One.
So Act One, we're setting up the characters. We're kind of...
Oh, we just do what happens next.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, what happens next is fine. That's always a fine one to do. I was just saying that Spoon River almost combines Act One and Act Two because it's like, but yeah, we can do what happens. Let's do what happens next.
See how that goes. Yeah.
We'll do that. That's a scene.
And remember, it's a scene. And remember that even though we're doing scenes and stories, you know, especially in your prologue of Ding, if you want to drop a character in with a strong, you know, persona accent or something like that, you're totally allowed. Like, you don't have to just be,
we can kind of switch in and out. Because right now, actually, we have, like, 3 storytelling games and 2 scene-based games, so.
That's a nice blend, right? That's
nice blend. Usually having more scene, but, you know, it's whatever. We'll.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah.
So that is that. So now.
Segment 4. Showtime.
All right, we are just about ready to get started. The final thing we need now is we got to come up with our title for our movie. And we've been kind of doing this one word at a time, which has been, you know, for like, I'd say a 2-5 word title.
Yeah.
Would be good. So you want to use that again for our titling?
Yes, yes.
All right, so we're going to create our title. Mike and I contributing one word at a time.
The title of a slasher film. Vita, I want you to go first.
Okay. The...
Summer
of
Decay.
Okay. So we are going to.
Okay.
We're going to see. We can drop the. We're going to see our slasher movie called Summer of Decay.
Nice. All right. We've got our tropes. Got my stuff all set up. Yep. All right.
All right. And. Drop in real quick. Hey, hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. If you are, please head over to iTunes or your podcast app. And if you could, give us a 5-star rating. And if you want to put in a review, that would be fantastic because that is how people can find us and spread the word. Back to the show.
All right, Avich, we're going to start with the prologue. We're going to be using Ding in story mode. However, you also can break into a scene if you want to introduce critical characters. Are you ready to give us the prologue to Summer of Decay?
Yes.
Good, because it's happening.
Okay. And
go.
32 years ago, in a hot summer in upstate New York, 7 teens went to Lake Winnipegipacka to experience joy and their summer off from school. Unfortunately, only one of those teens returned, as the other 6 were disappeared, presumed dead.
Ding.
The other 6 were found molded together into a sculpture of decay, where their bodies were rotting and the flesh was peeling. And the 7th had gone insane, unable to explain what happened. The authorities believed... Did you ding?
Yes, ding. Okay. Sorry, I got muted.
The 7th was only able to sing, proclaiming what happened in song.
Ding.
But because was proclaiming in free verse, a la Shakespeare... But because this town didn't appreciate the arts, the 7th teenager was sent to an insane asylum, accused of killing the friends But to this day, there has been no proof that that seventh teen actually committed the crime. To this day, there has been an abundance of proof that teen was the one. To this day, that teen has been gone. The insane asylum closed, but when they moved all the inmates, that one teen wasn't there. That teen has been roaming, legend has it, the woods of Lake Winnipegapaca for 32 years and has not been heard of until potentially today.
That's legit prologue. That's a legit prologue. Scene.
All right, so that's our prologue. We had 17s go away. Their bodies were fused together in a mass of decaying flesh.
Decaying flesh, yep.
The 17 was accused of doing it with an abundance of evidence, but disappeared when the asylum closed.
Yes.
So this brings us to act one of our movie, where we are going to play the improv game, What Happens Next, to continue and begin this story. And here we go. And remember, we're going to try to have a strong vocal something for each.
Yeah, as much as we can, right?
Yep. Okay, here we go.
You can hear my awful Fran Drescher.
Oh, my God, I can't believe school is over. And, oh, we are here. This is our last summer together before we go to college. I can't wait to vacation with you guys at Lake Winnipegapaca.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time, Jim said as he looked up and down the legs of the pretty girl Sally next to him in the car. Can't wait to show you my mom and dad's cool lakeside resort up in Lake Winnipegapaca.
Oh, Jim, you are the best. I can't wait to show you. Well, I think you know, huh? Hey, guys, once you get a room, you're going to be, you know, not all of us got something to hook up with on this trip, all right?
Come on, Roger. You know there's plenty of room for everybody up there, right? Hey, why'd you bring your quiet friend over there? His gaze tracks back to a small, mousy, brown-haired woman, pretty and slight, sitting reading a book and looking out the window.
Oh, guys, don't worry about me. I'm only here because Roger dragged me along. And look, I'm going to try to have a good time. You know, before I go to college, I want to get out of my shell. I appreciate you guys inviting me. But, you know, I mostly just like to sit by the lake and read.
As they discuss this, the car turns right and pulls into the lakeside resort on the lake, on the shore of Lake Winnipegawaka.
Hey, you kids, what are you doing here? What are you doing up here at Lake Winnipegapaka?
Hey, this is my parents' place, all right? We're coming here to get ready for the summer equinox, all right? We're supposed to be here.
Old dude, man. What's wrong, man? We're renting this place out.
You damn kids. Oh, my God. Every year, kids come up here, and every year I tell them to go away. Go away. Bad things happen when kids come up here.
What happens next?
A bad thing suddenly happens.
Oh, my God, did you see that tree that just fell? I think it hit the generator of the house. Oh, man.
Roger, Jim starts running towards the house to see what happened with sparks flying from the generator.
Oh, my God, Jim, be careful up there. You know you're bad with electricity.
Oh, great. Now look what happened. I'm going to have to go into town and get new wires and cables for that thing. Oh,
storm. What happens next?
They overhear on their, once someone checks their cell phone and the weather report says it's going to be a thunderstorm that night. Mm. Oh my God, guys, we don't have any electricity. It looks like the electric's out and I just checked my phone and there's going to be a thunderstorm tonight. I thought it was supposed to be clear weather this weekend.
Looks like we're getting pretty cozy in there. I'll grab the bags. Let's go get ourselves set up and find some candles. We can have a little seance.
Hey, man, you know I got the matches and the lighter, man. We got no problem with candles. Hey, come on, Shelly, listen, just relax. Don't worry about it. It'll be cozy. We'll do some s'mores. It's going to be great.
Oh, that sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. Come on, Kim, let's go find our room.
When they go into the house, in the kitchen, they discover something weird. What is it?
They find six small emeralds laid out in a circle and a chicken skeleton in the middle of that of those six small emeralds. But the chicken skeleton has like been there for like, it's completely picked clean, like bone white.
Dude, Kim, Shelly, Roger, come check this out. This is awesome.
What in the name of all, who would do that?
Oh my God, that's so gross, but those jewels are really pretty. I think I'm going to take some of those emeralds, though.
I wouldn't touch them. I mean, they're not ours. Who would know if, I mean, what would we do if somebody who came back and they were those emeralds?
Oh, Shelly, you're such a square. Look, this chicken's been obviously dead for a long time. No one's coming back. Chicken gems is awesome, man.
Oh, you touched the emerald. You took it. What happens next?
The old man starts banging on the window. He's come back.
What do you want, old man? We're trying to get the place set up with the power failed.
No, did you touch the emeralds? Oh my God, that was the only thing keeping you safe tonight. That was the only thing keeping you safe.
Oh man, what is your problem, dude? I'm telling you, man, my family has owned this place, this resort for 15 years, and there's never been a problem here. You gotta just leave us alone, all right? You're the help, we're the owners. What are you talking about?
I'm not going to stick around to watch this. I'm going back into town. You guys are on your own tonight.
Move the
emeralds.
Guys,
this is making me a little uncomfortable. Maybe we shouldn't stay here tonight.
Hey, I didn't take all this time to get you guys all up here for the Midsummer Equinox party to just go back down to town and ruin this. We're just going to, we'll go set up over in the main den in the fireplace. I got some booze. I got a whole bunch of bedrooms. We'll get a good night's sleep and maybe have a little bit of fun. And you'll see this is all just your own imagination acting against you.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on, guys. Let's get in our bathing suits. Let's do a couple hits and let's just relax. Everything's going to feel better once we're on the lake.
What happens next?
The old man is walking into town when he stumbles across something terrifying. Mm-hmm. Oh, those damn kids I've been telling about. What's that? Oh, no. Please, look. I tried to send him away. Please, no. No.
In a flurry of feathers, something grabs the man and drags him into the brush. You hear some... What happens next?
The kids all come back from swimming, only to see that something has happened to their car. Oh God, you know, you guys were right. Just getting a little sun and some water. I feel so much better now. You know what? I think everything's gonna be fine. I was just overreacting.
Yeah, man, Shelly, you just totally overthinking. Hey, keyed all the tires in my car. They're all flat now.
Oh my God, someone bust your cars. Oh God, I bet it was that old man. You guys shouldn't have pissed him off.
I can't, I can't pump these things back up without a powered air compressor and the generator's down. Hold on. I'm gonna go later on after dinner and go over to the old guy's house, see if he's got those cables he said he went into town for.
Oh, guys, listen, let's just eat dinner and go to sleep. Maybe it's almost dark. I don't think we should wander around here tonight. Let's just stay here tonight, and then tomorrow we can work on getting the car fixed.
Fine, let's go get some dinner first, and then we'll figure out what we're gonna do about getting this car's tires fixed and see about getting power, all right?
And see.
Yeah. This is good.
So
this
ends
is good.
Act one. The old man has died somehow. The four teens have resolved to stay there that night, but now their car is unable to allow them to leave. Which brings us to act two. So we are going to play the improv game Spoon River. And the way this is going to work is it's going to be a storytelling game. Mike and I are going to be four characters, two each. And we're going to pass off telling the story of what happened. Now, in this game, all four of these characters are dead. We are all dead. And we're going to tell the story one at a time, just shifting focus from each different perspective about what happened that night at the cabin at Lake Winnipegipacka.
Winnipegipacka. Winnipegipacka. Winnipegipacka. That's what it is. Winnipegipacka.
All right. And begin. Well, my name is Sheriff Johnson, and I've been the sheriff in those parts for a long time. And, you know, I had the old man Johnson called in earlier, and he was supposed to come by the station, but he never made it. So I figured I better take a look and check out what's going on with those kids. But when I drove up and got to the house, everything was completely dark, and I really thought no one was home.
Hey, I'm Jim. My parents own this place. I was done with dinner and kind of winding down. Me and Shelly were having a little bit of post-dinner dessert. When all of a sudden I heard some tires coming out, didn't see any lights or anything, so I got up to walk downstairs. saw what I thought might have been a car, but then it turned and drove away. Well, that reminded me that I still hadn't gone out to the old man's caretaker's garage to see if he had those cables. So I started getting my clothes on so I could go over to his garage about a quarter mile away.
Well, my name is Deborah, not Deborah and not Deb, but Deborah, and I have lived here, Lake Winnipakak, for over 30 years. Yes, you heard me right. I have been here longer than those legends began, and let me tell you that those legends are, there's a bit of truth in them. But the creature, the thing, the spirit of Lake Winnipakak is not to be denied or trifled with. And every year I see kids come up. I live on the other side of the lake from that one house, and I saw those four kids with their shiny, glistening, half-naked bodies swimming in the water, and I knew it was trouble. And I knew that the spirit of Lake Winnipegipakak would come and take care of things for me. I knew it, no matter what Sheriff Johnson tells me.
So after I got my clothing done, I started walking. As I did, I saw this strange old woman off in the distance up on that hill looking down at me. It's really weird, kind of spooky. So I kind of just shrugged it off, waved at her a little bit, and kept on going to the caretaker's place looking for some power cables. Weird thing was, though, hasn't been raining here in a couple of weeks, and yet when I got close to the caretaker's house, the ground was kind of all wet, kind of wet and a little bit slushy, almost like something from the lake had been around there. But he's a quarter mile away from the lake. It's really weird.
So I was doing my patrol and I figured, you know what, Sheriff Johnson, you should go and check out that house, even though maybe go knock on the door at least, or let me go check on old man Johnson. I don't know. He does have my last name, I guess. So we're related.
Blood brothers.
I suppose he is my uncle, so I should go check on him. Well, I'm driving up and I pull up and I see someone milling about the house, and no one should be in these parts, especially after dark. So I don't know what's going on. So I was far enough away. Cut the lights on the car, parked, and crept out to see what the hell was going on at old man Johnson, my uncle's house.
So there I was, looking around. Turns out the guy had a couple of power cables. I might be able to get that generator up and running. But as I did, I suddenly heard this sound of a car door slam and turned around and startled. And there's, I guess, is the sheriff. He's coming in. He's saying, "What are you doing over here?" Now, I own this place. My parents own this place. So I just held my hands up and said, "Sheriff, I don't know what you're asking, but I'm Jim Smears. My family owns this place." Well, right when I saw him walk out of the car, something moved behind him.
Now, it was a pretty routine stop. It's damn Smears kid. I know these kids. I know, you know, one, you know them all, but, you know, I know Mr. and Mrs. Smears, and they are, you know, typical, you know, they're here what we in Lake Winnipegipakak called Connecticut people, if you know what I mean, right? But you know what? They help our economy, and so I figured, all right, let me give this kid a lift back. Damnedest thing if all of a sudden I didn't feel an intense, sharp pressure through my back, and I looked down, and there it is. It is a large spike protruding from my chest.
I literally saw this thing, this black monstrosity thing. All of a sudden, some sort of sword or claw or something blew through the chest of the sheriff. I freaked. The sheriff started writhing, blood pouring out. I turned, ran back inside, and slammed the door. I ran over to the kitchen and grabbed a knife. Looking around, I didn't realize that it was a two-story building. All of a sudden, I heard this flapping and this fluttering, and I looked up just in time to see this huge thing descend on me, smashing my head into the ground. Brains blowing out on either side.
Well, let me tell you, when I saw that boy come out from the water originally, and he looked at me, I was a little annoyed, but when I looked, I could see those abs, and, you know, I've been here for a long time, as I said, so I decided I was going to follow them, and for some reason, he went to old man Johnson's house, and I was so glad, because soon, Sheriff Young Man Johnson, as I call him, since they are related, showed up. Well, I finally, after 32 years, I finally got to see the spirit of Lake Winnipegipakak kill someone. And he killed the sheriff. It was magnificent. And then I looked through the window, and that glistening boy with his beautiful muscles got whacked in the head and his brain spilled out. And I thought, oh, I have to go home and write in my journal. But wouldn't you know it, the moment I turned around, there was the spirit of Lake Winnipegac right in front of me. And before I could get to my knees and salute and flagellate myself or whatever the goddamn word is, I forget, genuflect, the thing picked me up and ripped my head right off my body. Oh, I should have stayed home that night.
And scene.
And scene.
Hey, we've got ourselves a villain.
There's our Spoon River. We don't know exactly what it is, but Deborah refers to it as the spirit of Lake Winnipegapaca.
Yeah. Oh.
That and brings us to the end of Act 2.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sheriff is dead. Jim is dead.
Smears, yep.
And Deborah is dead.
Roger, this Shelley, and Kim are still alive.
This brings us to Act 3, which I think we'll need to change because that was going to be time deaths. I think we were assuming we kind of just did time death. We were going to have like a bunch of characters and kill them off very quickly. Instead, I think we need to jump kind of to Act 4. Let's improvise right here on the fly. We're going to do time death. We're going to go back and forth. Let's do timed obstacles. So let's pick it up with our three characters who are still alive, Roger,
yes,
Kim, and Shelley,
yep,
our final girl. And let's start with a brief scene, setting it up, and then the spirit will attack. And then we'll go back and forth, 6-line stories each, in 3 minutes, where each one is an obstacle. Like, you know how like in a horror movie, like, oh, the car is out. Oh, they're going to go up the thing, but the bridge is out. And so we'll just like tell this story 6 lines at a time.
Yes.
Each one has to have a different obstacle, and then we move on.
I love it. And then it's going to be a story / scene hybrid, right?
I think we'll start with a scene with the three characters, and then when we go into it, it'll be kind of just quick story.
Got it. Let's try it and see how it goes.
Okay, so now we'll see a hybrid of a scene into timed obstacles.
Got it. Okay.
And if you miss it, if I explain it too quickly, the way timed obstacles will work is once we start that section, we'll each have 6 sentences. If Mike goes first, I will throw him an obstacle. He will have to continue this story for 6 sentences with that obstacle. Then he'll throw me an obstacle. I'll tell the next 6 sentences of the story where they have to hit that obstacle and back and forth. As yep. far as we can get in 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, love it, okay. Love it. All right,
our story picks up the next day at the cabin.
Got it. Roger bursts into the room where they're all having breakfast. Whoa, dude, I went to look for Jim, and all I found was the bottom half of his body together with the sheriff and some weird woman that looks just like a puddle of mustard right now. I'm telling you, there's something out there, and it's killing people around here.
Oh, my God, That is crazy. I thought he left last night. He never came back. I thought he was off finding some woman, but I guess there was another woman. Maybe they got what they deserved when he got killed, right?
Man, I don't know what to do. We got to get out of here, man. And we can't. The generator's not working. The car's full of flat tires.
All right, guys, listen. We need to really keep our heads on. Maybe if we just walk down the road, we can flag down a car and they can. What? Did you guys hear that?
Oh, man. I knew we shouldn't have spent the night here.
Oh, my God. I'm never going to... If I die here, I'm going to kill Jim. I can't believe he brought me up to his stupid parents' house. This is crazy. The giant creature bursts through the windows, landing in the kitchen, facing all three of them.
Yes. Boom. Timed obstacles.
Now, timed obstacles. In 3 minutes, Mike, you go first, 6 sentences, and the doors are locked.
Mm-hmm. Quick, run into the fireplace room. I can't. The doors are locked. Grab this frying pan. What do you want me to do with it? Hit the door. Next obstacle. Sudsy, soapy water on the floor.
Come on, let's get up. Whoa! Oh, my God, you idiot. Get up. You're going to... Oh. Listen, guys, give me your hands. Gently. Now get up. Okay. Quick. Here's some sand. Throw it on the sudsy water. Look out behind you. Run. Slide down. Quick. The three of them slide down the sudsy water like a slip and slide all the way to the lake.
Yes.
Next obstacle is the boats have all been cut loose and there's no boat to get into yet on the lake.
Look at the boats floating down the lake. There's no way you can get out of here now. That thing's getting closer. Quick. We've got to dig some sort of sand tunnel and try and hide under the ground. I don't have a shovel. Don't worry. I've got these clamshells that we can use. Hey, it's working. They start to dig a tunnel with the creature in hot pursuit. Next obstacle. There are horseshoe crabs.
Oh my God, let me get in here. Ow, these damn crabs. Oh, I'm being bit by crabs. Oh, it's terrible. Listen, Kim, man, hurry up. Who cares about the crabs? That thing's going to come and eat us all. Guys, listen, if we all work together and stop arguing, worrying about the crabs, I think we can get down there. Hurry up. We can get them quickly. All right, look. Oh my God. I dug all the way down into like a tunnel. Let's go in. Oh my God, it's too dark. I don't want to go in there. Just go, yells Shelly as she shoves both Roger and Kim into the tunnel, following behind.
Yes.
Next obstacle. There's an overwhelming smell of strong methane gas.
I'm having trouble breathing. It's really, really hard to breathe down here. Be careful. We don't want it to... I can't see a thing down here. I'm going to light a fire. No, don't I... The creature suddenly charges, seeing the source of light, and tears Shelly's head off. As the rushes of flame come through the cave. New obstacle. The cave is burning in patches of fire, and the creature can now see them.
Oh my God, I can't believe he killed Shelly. I thought she was going to be the final girl. Oh man, don't worry about it. We're going to have two finals. We'll both get out of here. Come on, grab my hand. The thing can see us. We got to get out of here. All right, Quan, quick. I know what. Let's just go deeper into the cave. The best thing is we can go farther away before it can see us anymore. The creature is lit on fire, seemingly unaffected, chomping him step by step, following them. Look, looks like a manhole cover. Come on, let's get out of here. Let's climb up. The two of them climb back to the surface, emerging out there. Now it has suddenly become nighttime, and they see the flames of the creature coming behind them as they go to escape. They're hopelessly lost, and they hear strange sounds.
I don't know which way to go. Everything sounds dangerous. Quick, I think I see some sort of pathway in front of us. That pathway is leading right back to the lake. We're right back where we started from. I don't think we're ever going to be able to escape out here. The creature lands in front of them.
And that's our 3 minutes. So that brings us to the end of Act 3. So now we have... They've been trying to escape, but they've circled back. They're so disoriented, they circle back to the cabin. The creature is directly in front of them, and they are the only two current survivors. So we're now going to finish this story with one of our favorite ending improv games called Cutting Room, where we'll start acting out a scene. Periodically, Mike or I can clap our hands and cut to a different scene. It could be a different scene in the movie. It could be to something tangentially related. It could be to something not even in the story, just like production value, whatever.
Yes.
And we'll periodically come back to the beginning and eventually wrap the story up with Cutting Room. So we're going to pick the story up right where we left off with Roger and Kim facing the giant monster.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God. Listen, Kim, I don't know how to tell you this, but you know, you're always with Jim, but I have always loved you. And listen, I will stay here and fight this thing so you can get away.
Roger, don't leave me. I can't be alone. I've realized that I have feelings for you, that we can be together. Don't leave. Stay together. We can defeat this monster together.
All right. Fine. But listen, we got to work together here. This thing, I think it's unstoppable. The fire, the explosion didn't stop it. How are we going to stop this thing?
Cut to the monster's vulnerability that it can never show anybody.
Oh, there was room on that door for two of them. These romantic comedies make me so sad. I can't function. I just wish someone loved me like Jack and Rose loved each other.
Oh, come back to the scene of them. We've got to run and give ourselves some space. This creature has to have a vulnerability. They start running through the forest.
All right, listen. Maybe if we split up, I know it sounds crazy, but if we split up, it can only chase one of us and the other can circle back and maybe find and exploit this thing's vulnerability.
Cut to the even more crazy idea that Roger had and then discarded mentally.
You know, I got it. If I can just trip Kim, then this creature will eat her. And then not only will I get away, but this will be revenge for all those years she just neglected me and didn't realize that I was in love with her. And it really pisses me off that the nice guy never gets the girl and that jackass Jim got to bang her over and over again and I never did. But that would be wrong.
Come back to them with their plan of splitting up.
All right, listen. I'm gonna go back towards the house. Okay, Kim, you go down the road because maybe you'll find help and maybe it'll follow me into the house.
Cut to what he finds at the house.
Oh my God, wait a minute, what's this under this chicken bone? Oh my God, this is a false bottom on this counter. What, it's a collection of DVDs. What, Titanic? Can't Buy Me Love? Pretty Woman? Who's been watching these romantic movies? What, what's that? Cut to the monster being really pissed off that Roger found his secret stash of DVDs. Cut to 32 years ago when this monster encountered the teens who were on vacation and how this manifested the obsession and vulnerability of romantic comedies. Wow, there are 7 of us here, and there are 3 couples, and, you know, sorry, John, that your girlfriend just dumped you, but listen, we are all going to go have independent sex. John, could you maybe clean up from dinner?
Yeah, okay, fine. The only thing I have to keep myself company is this old Betamax of Stanley and Iris.
Hey, listen, John, you watched that movie, but, you know, if you get bored with Stanley and Iris, I know you've seen it like 1,000 times here. There's that weird book we found in the kitchen. Why don't you read that, you know, and you can give us a book report. I know you're a nerd, so tell us what the book's all about tomorrow. All
right, fine. Maybe there'll be some good recipes in there.
To him reading the book. Yeah.
So I had 2 eggs and 3 pieces of parsley, and then omni nang angha fishing kajaga.
Cut to the devil in hell, suddenly perking up the fact that someone's finally reading his goddamn book. You're reading the book. Someone's reading the book.
Oh, God. I was not prepared for this. All right. This is a great idea.
I know you're tired. Maybe I can handle this curse.
You know what, Dave? That would be great, man. Listen, just pick a form from over in my closet, whichever one really grabs you. You pick one of those forms and just go on up there and have at it, man. Report back to me in a couple of days. Let me know how it goes, all right?
Okay. Cut to a couple days later. Sir?
Yeah, what's up?
I'm sorry, I took some liberties and went a little off script. I didn't use any of those forms. I've been into that romance love thing ever since you screwed over Adam and Eve way back when.
Yes.
I had a soft spot. So I tried to go with the reverse love curse. So I made a book that it kind of lets people have unrequited love, but somehow it drives them so crazy that they forge other human bodies into a sculpture that leads to a state of decay.
I did not greenlight that. Do you realize what that's going to do to our reputation? Gone are the days of like, oh, the devil's so scary. Now it's like the devil.
Cut to the pantheon of gods talking about the devil's new reputation.
Man, you see here, before it was this whole idea of you being the source of all evil. Now you're just kind of this creepy body porn dude.
I say the Norse gods don't approve of this at all. Even if we sound Celtic right now, goddammit. Oh, yes, let me tell you, people make fun of me for my arms, but this is the dumbest thing a devil has ever done.
I didn't intend for... Look, you know how hard it is to get good work, and one of my guys got a little creative, and now I'm stuck with this bizarre image of me being some sort of body porn dude, all right? It's not my fault.
Let's cut back to the original scene in the kitchen where Roger has found the DVDs.
Listen, man, you're just a hopeless romantic like me. Look, I love watching these movies too, man. Have you ever watched Titanic stoned? Do you want to watch Titanic stoned? The two of them sitting on the couch watching Titanic stoned.
Oh, God, I wish I had my piano open running. Hold on a second here. I may actually have to play something here. Give me a sec. Cut them actually watching stoned. Go for it, Avish.
Now, the thing is that what makes this movie work, man, yeah, we know the iceberg's gonna hit, but it's beautiful. But because it's the love story, man. It's the love. Can you believe the love story here between these two? It's so powerful. I know. I agree. There was room on that door for both of them. And you know what? I think Rose, she's just selfish. Oh, yeah, here, give me a hug. Cut to Kim coming back and seeing the two of them hugging and seeing him squeezing Roger to death.
Yes. Roger, I came back. I realized I've always been in love with you. Oh, no. Oh, no. What are you going to do? Cut to the thing that she finds to destroy the beast and save Roger.
Oh, my God. Look, it's a copy of Addicted to Love, one of the worst romantic comedies of all time. Watch this. She goes over and plugs it in the DVD player and hits play. Oh my God, I can't believe that worked. Oh, Roger, just after we had declared our love for each other, you've been squeezed to death by the monster.
Oh, I'm just glad that you're finally safe. And I just think that it's good that I realized you finally... Oh! All of a sudden, the monster comes back up, spearing through him like this, clawing through.
Oh my God! Cutter fleeing through the woods, tripping multiple times across multiple routes as she runs.
Yep.
Oh my God, the monster's after me. Somebody help. Oh my God, here I go again. Why can't I stay standing? Oh my God. God damn it. Cut to John, the seventh teenager from 32 years ago, who turns out not to be the creature, but to have been in hiding trying to fight the creature all these years, emerging to help Kim.
Yes, exactly. Oh, God. What's all that racket? What's... Oh, my God.
Who are you?
I'm John. I'm the 17.
You have to help me. There's something chasing me.
What? It's him. It's the creature from 32 years ago. Stand back. I know how to stop him.
Okay. Cut to how he knows how to stop the creature.
He walks forward, throwing up a boombox all of a sudden. What is it? The In Your Eyes starts blasting
in your eyes
out.
Starts playing. In your love, I get so lost.
Cracking. The creature charges up and wraps itself around the guy, John, holding the box, and the two of them plunge into the lake together, the creature burning in blue and purple fire as it explodes in agony, taking John with him.
Oh my God. That was... I can't believe it. I always thought Peter Gabriel made a mistake leaving Genesis, but if he didn't, he would never have recorded that song, and I'd be dead right now, so shows what I know about music. Well, I've learned my lesson. So many people are dead, and it's all because we came to vacation at this crazy spot and tempted with fates we should never have. I never should have taken those emeralds off that table.
I don't know what to go with this.
And scene.
I was like, this is great. I think we won.
And dude. So ends our tale of Summer of Decay, our slasher movie improv comedy style.
That had some really good stuff in there. I liked that. I enjoyed myself there.
Good
and
stuff.
Yeah.
Very wacky. And depending on when you're listening to this, we may start to do show breakdowns where afterwards we reflect back, we talk about what worked, what didn't, what we liked. And if you're interested in the creative process, that piece could be very useful. But we're not doing that right now. So for right now, if you've got thoughts about this, go to avishandmike.com. Send us an email. Let us know if you liked it. And if you did like it, please go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes on the podcast or give us a 5-star rating. And most definitely, please share this on your social media with your friends and let them know, because that's how we grow our listenership.
Yes.
So, Mike, awesome job with the slasher movie.
Yeah, really good job.
Thank you very much.
I like that. That was good. And tune in next week. We will be reviewing what genres we're going to do in a couple days, and we'll post that. And then next week, you can come in and join us for more of this madcap fun as we invent movies in a world.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week.